Hello everybody and welcome back to Growing With The Flow. Happy Monday, I hope we're all doing good and sending you some positive vibes for the week ahead. Today we have hopefully a nice chill episode. I'm recording this on Saturday because I actually have plans for my Sunday, which I feel like I never have plans these days, but yeah, I'm busy tomorrow and I'm actually being good for the first time ever and recording in advance, which I know this is still the weekend and realistically it'd be bash if I recorded it in the week, but I've gotten into such a bad habit of recording on Sunday evenings, mainly because I like the episode to be like current and I also like to record in the evenings. I feel like the chat is better and more in like a long sit down chat sort of vibe. Like I could put this on my like to-do list for 9 a.m. on a Monday, but that would not make for a good episode. I feel like it would just be a groggy, like not fun vibe. And I want like the cozy, chill, almost like warm hug kind of vibe, like comforting. So I feel like I'm mostly in that vibe in the evening. But anyway, we have some things to talk about because this was my first week of uni. Oh my God, this week hit me like a fucking truck. This was a rough week, kind of, I'm not gonna lie. So if you haven't listened to previous episodes, I am just starting a master's. I'm studying at LSE and I'm doing health and international development. It's a 1 year course, 12 months. And this was the first week. I calculated like last week that I'd had 500 days off because I did a gap year post my undergrad. So I really hadn't been in like stringent academics or work or anything for a year, which is kind of crazy. And here I am back in it 1 week in. Genuinely, this week feels so long. I can't believe how many hours there are in the day, and it's weird because I lived my whole life like this and then I just took 1 year off, but you just forget so quickly like how much you can achieve, especially because I've had like definitely like depressive slumps, I guess, I don't know, at periods during this gap year. So there are so many days where I would just like not really get up, find it really difficult to like, get out of bed, like do anything, and like you'd look down at the time and it's like 5 p.m. and you've not, you know, done anything. So to go from that to like this week literally being busy, like, and every hour having like a different task to do, it's just been so crazy. So yes, I was good, and my two goals aside from like academics and stuff was that I really wanted to meal prep my lunches and walk either to or from uni. I'm living like far, like I can walk, but it's definitely like a longish walk, so I wouldn't walk both ways, but I really wanted to walk at least one way. Hopefully I can continue doing that when it gets colder and stuff, but so far I've been, I think I did it every day. There was one day that I didn't, but I did then walk to and from the gym. I just want to try and get like my steps to a good place because I feel like I have a good opportunity now that I'm like living here and like I do have places to walk. When I was living at home, it's quite difficult because I didn't really go anywhere in walking distance, so I would have to like just go on walks, whereas now I can much more easily like walk places basically. And yeah, I just feel like it makes me sleep better if I've moved my body. Like I find that even if I go to the gym and like my favorite like workouts at the gym, the only thing I really do is lift weights, I find that that doesn't like make my body like, because I've not worked out like cardiovascularly, it doesn't like make my body feel tired in the way that I want to. And I feel like, I don't know, even like endorphin wise, and I just like to feel like I've moved in the day. And if I just like drive or get the bus everywhere and then just do like a weights workout, I feel like I haven't really moved. So yeah, I've been trying to walk. I'm trying to go swimming once a week. I did go last week and I have it booked in for tomorrow, so I'm doing good on that front. Yeah, my lunches, I made some pasta and tofu on the first day. I don't really know how well they keep. I did look it up and apparently you can keep pasta for 5 days, but it says like to check and do it like, you know, on your own judgment, but I don't know. Basically, I made enough for like 4 days of like cooked tofu and plain pasta. And then each day I chopped up like some tomato, cucumber, lettuce, and then did like olive oil, salt, pepper, balsamic, and some hummus, and made sort of like a pasta salad with tofu. And that was my lunches this week, which actually, thinking about it now, is really nutritionally great, actually. Hitting a lot of different food groups there. So yeah, I feel like on that front I did well. It's weird going from having control of your brain 24/7. And what I mean by that is, like, I was able to think about whatever I wanted to.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
24/7, because yes, I do, like, technically quote work on, like, YouTube and the podcast and stuff, but firstly, I make my own hours. Secondly, I don't do that many hours. I feel like I've spoken about it a million times, but also never, I don't know, I feel like I have, like, a difficult relationship with it, not the podcast, but, like, YouTube and stuff. Sometimes it's just I'm so in my head and I can't get out. And but I do feel like I'm in a better, like, over summer and stuff, I feel like I've been in a good place and not been posting as much as I did before, but feel like I'm finding or found the balance of, like, having privacy and also, like, just not having to film everything. Like, I found that really draining, and not in, like, a, oh my god, it's such a difficult job way, but just in, like, a mentally, is this good for my mental health to be, like, posting everything I do and also filming everything I do, seeing everything I do as content. Like, I just didn't like that. And yeah, so I feel like, what was the point of this? Oh, basically what I was saying is, because I make my own hours, I still can choose whether I want to do work. And I guess with uni, you can choose your own hours to a certain extent, like outside of classes. I've been just trying to do 9 to 5 because most of my friends have jobs, almost all my friends. So I really want to be free in the evenings and at the weekend, so that I can, like, see people. Because if I don't structure it like that, I don't want to get to a point where it's like the only time somebody is free is the weekend and I have to do work. But it's like, but you had all week, like, you could have structured it better. So I'm trying to do 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and then just be chill outside of that and not have to do any more work. I didn't quite make that this week. I'd say I did 10 to 5 on average. Maybe, like, some days I definitely left at 4. But there was a couple, one day I left at 6, I think. The thing with academics is that I personally think, and I'm coming from no point of, like, experience here because I haven't had a full-time job, but from the experience I do have working in, like, the capacity that I have, academics is very different because it's a lot of, like, everything you do is a lot of brain power. There's very few, like, mundane tasks. Where I know YouTube and stuff is creative, so it's like not really comparable, but for example, editing a video, or I don't know, like recording a podcast, for example, it is creative, but it requires more, like, thought because you're trying to, like, create something there. Whereas there are a lot of, like, more mundane tasks, like making a thumbnail, for example. I find that quite chill. Like, I can do that while I watch TV and it's not that, like, difficult. I guess replying to emails, sometimes it depends what the email is, but if it's just like little bits and bobs, that's not too difficult. Whereas I feel like with uni, everything is such, like, high thought processing and you're not really interacting with people outside of classes. So I imagine with most jobs, you are, like, working in a team or, like, at least, like, speaking to people, or, like, I know a lot of people work from home, but I don't know. I just think it's very different. And I don't know if my brain can do 9 to 5 of this, because it genuinely is just so tiring, like, thinking critically all day. I found it so exhausting. However, I'm hoping that it's just, like, a bit of a learning curve and getting back into it vibe, and in a few weeks it won't be as draining. Some other thoughts on my week back. I have found it so interesting, and I almost I'm like emotional over knowing how interesting you can find something. Like, I've never really studied anything that I have found super interesting. I think in school I was very motivated by like success. Like, if I was good at a subject, that was why I liked it. Or if I got good grades or I felt like I could revise and do well, that was what made me like a subject more so than interest in the actual content. I picked very like science and maths based subjects when I got the choice to pick. And I feel like I did that because those are the subjects where you get that like gratification more so than maybe like more creative things. And yeah, so I kind of have spent a lot of my time in academics, I feel like, basing my choices on subjects and stuff on that, chasing that sort of like feeling of success. And this year I have a really different mindset, and also I'm studying something that I'm finding so interesting. Also finding the quality of teaching to be like, again, nothing I've never ever experienced. And I also really like the buildings, like the uni buildings, and like where I'm actually spending that time. I'm also, another thing I'm trying to do is this whole 9-to-5 thing. I'm also trying to do it at uni and not really do work at home, because firstly, I have a really small room this year. So if I start working in here, I feel like it's just not good for my like sleeping and mental health, basically, because it's a really small room, and like if I keep crossing the boundaries, I feel like it just isn't going to be good for my like relaxing. So I'm trying to just go in, basically I'm trying to treat my uni as a 9-to-5 job. And I know that being in uni is like, you have the privilege of not having to do that, that's like the privilege of it. But for the most part, obviously there'll be like exceptions, and there was like a couple things this week that I did do at home, but I'm really trying to do that, like just go in for the like working day, and outside of that you can chill and you can do whatever you want and not stress. That's my ambition. But yeah, I really like the buildings, a lot of brutalist architecture, but in like a cool way. And I've got like a little seat at the library that I like. I found a few, there's a lot of different buildings, obviously. I guess Edinburgh had that too, but I'm still getting used to it. Everything I've had this week, almost all of it has been in a new building. Wait, sorry, I've just gotten a text from my mum that I sent her a postcard when I was in Portugal, and it's just arrived. She's just put it in the family group chat, which is so weird because I sent that in August. That's so weird. I thought that would never arrive. When it was like 2 weeks, I was like, oh, it's never gonna come. That's kind of good. I'm glad that's not lost, because I love a postcard. Anyway, that's good news. But yeah, I feel like it went really well this week. I am trying to make friends, but it's so difficult. And I know I've come on here and said a million times, like, join a club, put yourself out there, speak to people, just be bold. It's like the easiest advice to give and the hardest advice to take. Like, no one likes that advice. And the thing is I feel like I'm in a different position because I do live, like, I'm living in London where I grew up, and I have a lot of friends here already. So it's not like I have nothing. So I don't know. I'm feeling like chill. I'm trying to be chill about it. But yeah, this week went really well, I'd say. It's exhausting though. There was one day where I couldn't get my brain to keep, it felt like my brain was like sprinting and like going really, really fast. And no matter what I did in the evening, I couldn't get it to like stop. Like, I was at the gym and I was like rushing through my workout, and I was like, why are you rushing? Like, you literally don't have anything after this. You're not hungry. Like, you're not in a rush to get anywhere. Like, why are you doing this? And then I'm like speed walking home, then I'm cooking my dinner really quickly and I'm shoveling it down. And it's like, just take a breather. And yeah, just trying to like be chill, basically, because I think it's a big change and my brain isn't used to doing so many tasks and having like the stress of like things due all the time. Like, I've not had many deadlines, obviously, like I do with YouTube and stuff, but it's not like I've got like, you know, five different things on my to-do list every day that need to be done that day, like all these deadlines. It's just an adjustment, so I'm adjusting. And yeah, it's going well. In terms of fun things, I also went to the theatre on Tuesday, which was so fun. If you live in London, I'd recommend going to see it. It was called The Father and the Assassin at the National Theatre, and the tickets were £20. So I know it's still like it's still like expensive, but on a more affordable side for like theater. And I'm pretty sure you can get under 25 tickets for £10 if anybody is interested. I went with my parents and it was so fun. I really liked it. It's fun like seeing them and like meeting up. Like we went for dinner and then to the theater, and it was like, oh my god, I feel like such an adult meeting up with my parents. Especially because the only other place I've lived is Edinburgh. So if they ever, like, my mum came to see me a couple times, but obviously it was different because she was staying over and stuff. So this feels so weird for us just to go back to our respective homes. Like, I don't know, it just feels so different that technically we could live together, but we're not. It just feels like mature and adult vibes. But I had a really good time. The show was about Indian independence and the story of like Gandhi and the British rule and like the like formation of Pakistan, that kind of thing. It was actually told from the perspective of the person who kills Gandhi. That's why it's called The Father and the Assassin. So yeah, I thought it was so good, really, really interesting. And if you don't know much about like the partition and that sort of thing, and just like Gandhi and the, you know, that story. Okay, so on to this week's topic, which is girlhood, feminism, or like femininity more so. I was thinking about this a lot like a couple months ago, a month ago, when I first saw the Barbie film. And also, I just feel like this is something that has been almost like trending on social media, like those TikToks where it's like everyone at the Eras tour in their little outfits and like giving out friendship bracelets, and it's captioned like girlhood, and those make me honestly want to cry. Like, I find that so emotional. And yeah, that was kind of like my motivation for this episode. I did like leave it for a while because I was like, oh well, the Barbie film is kind of old. Like, I didn't talk about it like when it first came out, so I was like, oh, it's a bit like weird to talk about it like a few weeks or months after it was like a big thing. And then I recently just finished Sex Education, the final season today, and I've seen a lot of like criticism of it on social media, and I actually really liked it, to be honest. I thought it was really good. I think there's like definitely like problems with it. It's not perfect, but I think a lot of people are saying it's like a critique of Gen Z and I guess like wokeness and that sort of thing. Just that sort of stuff. But yeah, I feel like maybe there's like, I don't know, I think there's like a big conversation about if it was a good season, but I took something away from it and I really liked it. And in particular, I was thinking about Amy's storyline, and there is a scene in the final episode, I was gonna say spoiler, but I feel like it's not really a spoiler, where she's been doing like photography and like self-portraits and stuff, and she does this shoot, I guess, in front of the bus stop wearing the jeans. If you haven't watched it, she was like assaulted on the bus, and she takes these photos of her, she's wearing the jeans, then she takes them off, she sets them on fire, and that's like she's been working the whole season on like her art and figuring out what she wants to say with her work, and she ends up with this message about like the experiences of women and like safety. And I really love that scene. The song over the top is Seabirds, and I don't know if I knew that song before, if it's just one of those songs that sounds like you know it, but I have since added it to my playlist and been really enjoying it. I was listening to it on my walk to the gym today, and yeah, I just really liked that scene, and I found it kind of like, to me, it's quite powerful. I actually found a lot of the storylines powerful in Sex Education. I think one of the biggest criticisms is that like they try to attack too many issues, which I do understand, but I almost think, is that not the point? Like, that's the whole thing about them like critiquing like the like wokeness, I guess. I don't know if that is what they're doing. I don't study, I've never studied anything like that, so I don't really know. But yeah, that was kind of my feelings about the season. And yeah, So I want to talk about girlhood. I watched the Barbie film I watched it a few weeks after it came out, actually. And so I'd seen like a lot of content on social media, a lot of TikToks, a lot of like, I already knew the gynecologist line and all those sort of things, like little random bits, because I just knew them already from social media. So when I was going to see it, I was a bit like, oh, like, I hope it's good. Like, I've kind of seen the main stuff, and I was like worried that it wouldn't really hit. Oh my god. I have never, and given I used to be like a bit of a hater of the cinema and going to see films and stuff, I actually was not a big film person. I'm still not. I've not seen a lot of films, but I loved it so much. I think it's my favorite film I've ever seen at cinema. I honestly loved it like insane amounts. I thought it was amazing. Yeah, absolutely loved it. I cried. I'd say maybe like I first cried, I think the scene at the bus stop where she's like, to the old woman, like, you're so beautiful. And she's like, I know it. I think I first cried at that bit. And then from there, the entire rest of the film, I was like on and off crying, like never fully recovered. And then after I finished, I went to the toilet and cried more, like privately. I just loved it. And I find it so insane that like people think that this is like pushing like men hating on like people that go and see it, and quote, on a children's film, even though it is like a 12A or whatever. I just find that like view insane, and I just don't, like, I couldn't agree with that less. So those are my feelings about the film. And the whole, I think Barbie did have a big aspect of girlhood in it. I went to see it, and then I was like, no, I need my mum to see this, like, I want to go take her. So I took her a few weeks later, and she was very skeptical. And I think a lot of adults I actually have been finding are thinking of it as like a children's film, and it's not really that. As in, if you think about who it's made for, my mum was saying she thinks it's made for like middle-aged women, and I think everyone can take something from it, but if you think about who they created it for, I don't think it's really created for people my age. Or like, obviously it's very like feminism foundations, I guess. And that's also a big critique of the film, which I don't agree with. I don't think that that's, well, I agree that it is that, but I don't think that's a critique. Like, I don't think that's, you know, it's funny that there's so much backlash and yet people are calling it foundations, where it's like, but we still need the foundations if there's all this backlash. Anyway, what was my point there? Yeah, who it was made for. So I don't think it's necessarily made for people who are like in their 20s, because I feel like there is a lot of rhetoric around feminism, and I would say that like these foundations are things that most, especially women in like that in our generation, have heard already. But I do think that the power of like seeing it in the cinema with like, you know, loads of different people going to see it, I think it was the highest grossing, I don't know, it broke some records of like grossing cinema like films recently or whatever, I don't really know. And I think that's still really powerful, regardless of whether the message itself is like brand new to you or not. I also think the idea of like teenagers going, like, I think if I went to see that when I was 12, 100% it would have been new content to me. So, and I know like this generation's different and everything like that, but I still think it's important. And you also like forget that, I do think, like, I have like a privileged upbringing. I would say my parents, like my mum, for example, said when she was watching it that it takes her back to being in uni, and like when she first studied like feminist theory. And so, for example, just things like that, like, I have parents who are aware of these like issues and like educated on them, I guess, and that isn't the case for most people. So I think on that level it also is like important. And I just found it to be a beautiful film. The compilation at the end, I loved that. I thought that was so nice. It's all like the cast's old like baby videos and stuff, which I thought was so sweet. Yeah, I really, really liked it. Oh, I actually asked, do you feel about girlhood? That doesn't even make sense. I was like, well, I meant, how do you feel about girlhood? Are you in touch with your child self / femininity? Let's see what you guys said. Okay. I want to be, but I feel like women are given such a hard time for being girls. Yeah, so I guess this is one of those foundational ideas that things that are typically feminine or liked by women are denoted as meaningless, trivial, silly, not meaningful. That's what meaningless means. Yeah, like, you know, the whole example of, you know, people were mocked for loving Taylor Swift and like waiting outside and doing the friendship bracelets and spending money on these tickets and stuff, and that's mocked and trivialized. But then a more classical men thing, like supporting your football team, going to watch all the time, watching all the games at home, like, you know, people, like, very, very few people are watching every Eras Tour video, but many, many people watch every football game. And I know it's like, well, it's different, but, you know, just if you think about, like, the way people are mocked for these sort of behaviors, like being a fangirl, for example, buying the merch, it's just different. Men and women are treated differently in those, like, regards. And I think that goes for, like, almost all things to do with girlhood, like, you know, dolls and liking pink and doing like hairstyles. And I know those are like just classic examples, but those are things that I liked. I was very into hairstyles, I was into nails, I was actually not that into dolls, but hair, nails, like little dances and like gymnastics, that kind of thing. So yeah, I do think it's like difficult to be in touch with and to enjoy that side of you, and it is, you feel stupid for it.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And you're made to feel that way. It's not like by accident. So I really think I've recently been trying to, like, I wouldn't say heal my inner child, because I feel like she's fine, honestly, but do things that make her happy. Like sometimes when I'm just, little nostalgic things, like even just now, this is so random, but I've been in a big phase with prawn cocktail crisps and I think they were my favorite as a child, and sometimes I'll just see all the crisps and be like, oh, I'm in the mood to have like my childhood favorite crisps today, and just like random things like that, and I'm kind of enjoying it. Oh, okay, this one says, I think I lost that little girl inside of me a while ago and just recently got her back. Okay, a lot of people are saying that they are in touch with their femininity, but it's taken a while to get to that point. And I feel the same. I definitely had that whole phase of like, I want to be different, I want to be cool, I want to, not necessarily like, I don't want to be like the other girls, but like, I want to be liked. And if you are overtly like yourself, it's often not likable. And it's often, I don't know, if, for example, if you like talk about women's rights and stuff, you never know how that's going to be received. And now I definitely have the mindset of like, well, if it's not going to be received well, I don't want to know that person. I think especially like as a teenager, for example, all you want is to be liked. You just want people to like accept you. You just want to fit in. And it's really hard to like undo that conditioning and just start believing in what you believe and like living the life that you like want to live. So it's nice that we're all on this journey together. I love indulging in girly things, and of course my beloved Taylor Swift. Keep in touch with my girlhood. Oh, guys, the videos of the Eras Tour actually makes me kind of emotional, like, thinking about it, because just the idea of, like, all these people coming together to celebrate a person and music that is so good and is so connected to everybody's, like, inner child. Like, everybody grew up with these songs and has loved this woman for so many years. The friendship bracelets thing makes me want to, like, not just cry, but, like, you know, break down, because it's just so cute. Like, we're actually so cute. It's just the idea of, like, you just want everybody to have a nice time. Like, prepping things in advance to give to strangers. I just think it's, like, oh, it's so beautiful. And, yeah, I just love that. Just, like, getting ready with all the girls. Like, getting ready to go and putting on your, like, special little outfit and, like, making it a thing. Because I feel like the idea of wearing something, like, fun to a concert, it's not done at every concert. Like, yes, people dress up for concerts. Like, that's common. But not necessarily, like, dress up. And, like, the Eras Tour is a whole different level. Like, people are wearing, like, almost costume, you know? Like, dressing up as a specific era. Like, your outfit is, you know, so many people's outfits are actually, like, based on something, like a lyric or like something that she wore or something like that, like really specific. And I think that's so nice that, you know, dressing up, I think, is definitely thought of as like a little girl's thing and it's trivialized. And the idea that we're all just like dressing up and putting in the effort because we want to and like going with your friends, having a great time, like just looks like the best vibe. And I cannot wait for my turn. I did try and get Olivia Rodrigo tickets. Was that like a week ago? And failed. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was only I got the code like late, not in the first round. And because I was like waitlisted. And then when I got on, I'm pretty sure it was only the like VIP ones that were like the cheapest ticket was like £170. Obviously, I'm not going to pay that. So I will not be going to Guts. But I did really want to. I really love the new album, actually. We can talk about that for a second. I really like Making the Bed. I think that's my favorite in terms of like concept and like insight into her life. And like, I just think that's a really cool song. I like The Grudge. I like Ballad of a Homeschooled Girl. Is that what it's called? All American Bitch. I also like that one. I love them all. I actually quite like Teenage Dream as well, which I was surprised by. I think her music, I've seen a lot of like people talking about how they feel like they're too old for it, or like, I wouldn't want to go to the concert because I'll be too old. And it's, I don't know, I'm 23, so I'd say I am older than like her main demographic. Like, a lot of it is about, like, Sour, for example, is about like almost being in school. Like, she's 17, where's my fucking teenage dream? And then this album is all about kind of like the next stage of her life, but she is still like, the final song is called Teenage Dream. And she talks about turning 19. I'm pretty sure she's 20 now, but I feel like it's still like a younger essence. And it's funny how we're like thinking of like 23 is like so different to 20, but I do feel very different to when I was 20. Like, it just feels like a different vibe. I'll be 24 in March, which is still like 5 months away. But 24 is mid-20s, whereas 23 is early. I don't know who the fuck made up these like little segments, but that is what I've been hearing. And I don't know, I do think 24 feels like older than 23. But yeah, I think I feel like her album, I don't connect with it in a way of like, oh, this has happened to me, or like, I feel just like this. Or a lot of the concepts I actually kind of think I am a bit too mature for. Not like I don't understand them, but more in like a, I don't know, I kind of think the older you get, the more it's like, and I'm still so immature, don't, and so unwise, so don't take this the wrong way, but I mean like the idea of almost kind of like, I don't know, like destroying yourself for somebody else, and like, you know, oh, I shouldn't really do this, but like, I'm gonna do it because I want them to like me, that kind of thing. I think that's something I'm growing out of, and I think honestly it takes longer than people say. Like, I think I know loads of adults who still live their lives like that, who are literally like 50 years old, and a lot of people will never grow out of it. But I do think I'm working on like getting out of that cycle and not behaving in like a self-destructive way. And I think a lot of the album is about self-destructive behaviors, not all of it, just bits and pieces. Yeah, but those songs that I really liked are the ones that I mentioned, especially Making the Bed. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I didn't get tickets, but I'm so excited for the Eras Tour. I'm gonna heal my inner child that night. Yeah, I don't know, I actually think I might go as Midnights. I definitely think I'll just do an album outfit rather than like something specific. I have a newfound love for Midnights. I think I spoke about when it first came out, not being like completely connected with it. And like I liked it, but it wasn't like everything to me. And now it's everything. When I actually moved, I was like, I want to buy a vinyl and like put it up and have it as like decor. But obviously I also want to own it. But I felt like moving was a good chance because I like wanted something to put up. And I went with Midnights. Out of all the albums, I really thought I was going to pick Folklore, but I ended up picking Midnights, and I'm so glad that I did. I just love it. I think having the knowledge of her and Joe breaking up changes the whole album for me. And I know that you can enjoy art without like knowing the personal history of like whoever it is that made it, but I do think that like reframed it for me, and I just think it all makes way more sense now. So yeah, I'm very excited for my Eras Tour moment. Girlhood was too villainized when I was a teenager, recently got back in touch with my femininity. I tried so hard not to be feminine as a child, now I have embraced and accepted it. Barbie reminded me how precious it is and how special it is to be a girl and a woman. I kind of feel like that too, like a lot of the ideas of like feminism, or almost like all of that, were things that I've heard many a time, thought about many a time, like these aren't new concepts. But I actually think it's still great to hear, and it's still lovely to sit in a room full of people who I'm sure haven't thought about that. Actually, the bit that I think really hit me is this. It's just like, I love being a girl. Like, it's just so great. And there's so much like heart and like, I don't know, meaning in that. And just feeling that like on a deep level. I don't know. I just feel like the film really summed that up. It's actually amazing how they did that with that film. Like, it's honestly insane. Yeah, so cool. But I think I agree, it did remind me how much I really like it. And I was definitely one of those kids that like tried to be a bit more of like a tomboy and like act really cool and like be friends with the boys. And I don't know, I'm talking young, like 8 years old, but I do think I have always had a problem with people pleasing and like just wanting to be liked. Like, always, as long as I can remember. And those were the people that I wanted to like me. I remember for a lot of like my primary school, I don't know why, but the like gender divide in my class was very like, I don't know, maybe like a third girls and then two third guys. So there was a lot more like boys. And so if you want people to like you, if you want the whole class to like you, you need to appeal to them. And I do kind of think that I would make, you know, even like, I don't know, I think it's common to like make jokes about like, oh, girl, that's so girly, or like things like that, and sort of like reduce it in an attempt to get other people to like you. And I just think the film's a really nice reminder that those things are great. Oh, this one's so sad. I feel sad for my past self, but I love her so much more now than I did when I was her. And I agree with this so much. I think it's crazy how much we comment. I don't know, I hope everybody can see that like child self and feel like warmly towards them. But it's sad how as soon as it's like your present self and like who you are now, you hate it. It's rubbish. It's the worst thing that ever happened to you. But the second, even like 2 years on, like I think about myself 2 years ago and I'm like, oh, bless, like what a little, oh, I hope she was okay. And it's like, but why did I hate myself in the moment then? Like, why? And like in 2 years, I'm sure I'll look at myself now and be like, oh, she was just starting her new degree, like a new flat, like new life. Like, oh, it's so stressful. Like, I hope she's okay. But right now I'm like, no, you need to be doing more. Why didn't you stay in uni all day? Or like, why didn't you go to the gym enough this week? And I don't know, just things. Like, I just feel like the second you're not you, it's almost so much easier to like yourself, which is actually the worst, kind of most heartbreaking thing ever. I was listening to, as always, Seffy and Wing on the Goes Without Saying podcast. I feel like I talk about them all the time, but people always comment, what are you saying? Goes Without Saying. Favorite podcast all time, best podcast all time. They were, I think Seffy actually was talking about how these women in their like 50s, 60s, 70s, even like older and younger, will talk about things like, you know, it's like, oh, what would you tell your younger self? And I'm also not word for word. This was just kind of what I took away from what she said. But these women will say things like, oh, I just wish I knew how beautiful I looked on my wedding day. Or I just wish I enjoyed how like young and pretty I was. Like, I was so pretty and I like never even knew it. I spent the whole time like hating the way I looked. or like, oh, I just wish I knew how clever I was and like valuable. I always doubted myself, but I was like such a great like girl. And she's talking about how we have to learn from these women, and like honestly the worst thing ever would be, not the worst thing ever, okay, but I kind of feel like one of the saddest things would be to go down that road and get to, you know, being old or older than you are now, feel like that about your previous self. Because I actually now can see that even for my like self in primary school, because I remember when I was like 10 maybe, some boys were like, I remember it so distinctly, we were on a school trip and I was wearing this like stripy t-shirt, and it was like fitted t-shirt, and these boys were like acting out that I was like pregnant, like putting their hands over their tummies and being like, because they thought I looked like I was pregnant basically, or like had a big tummy, I don't know. And I've always thought about, like, I remember that so clearly, and still to this day probably one of my biggest insecurity physically. And it's crazy how much these things impact you, because they definitely won't remember that, they probably didn't remember it like the next day. I just look back and I think, oh, it's actually heart shattering to think about that girl being like, oh, I don't look like, they think I look fat, like I don't look nice, like, you know, you're literally 10 years old firstly, and what a waste of space to think about that, what a waste of time. Like, that is so sad and so wasteful. Like, I should have literally been like playing with toys, you know, like it's so upsetting to think about. And I know that, you know, in 20 years I'll look back on like presently and think, you had your full health, you had amazing friends, you have a really cool life, you're starting in like a new city, you have all these great opportunities, you're so lucky to have everything that you do, and it could be so fun if you just, you know. There was something I went to this, oh, I didn't go to this summer, actually. I was invited to the, it was the summer I turned pretty, like, it was like, you could go, like, 2 days before, or I got invited to go a few days before and watch, like, the first episode. It wasn't, like, a premiere, it was, like, a screening, and I got all ready, like, I put on my outfit, and I tried to wear something that was kind of, like, the vibe of the film. I went for, like, white jeans, and then I had this strapless like blue and white stripy top. I really liked the show previously, like it's cheap but it's good, and so I was really like excited to have been invited. I thought that was really cool. And yeah, so I got ready, I was literally like, it was time to leave. I had the train, like I'd chosen what train I was gonna get, I had like the full outfit on, everything, shoes on, and then I was like, I look shit, I'm not going, and I didn't go. And stuff like that, I actually never really do that. Like, normally I will push through. The thing is that I was going alone, so I didn't have anyone to like hold me accountable. If I was going to meet a friend or like go to a party where I knew people would like had invited me, I would feel like I had to go, because I didn't know anybody going. I was a bit like, well, no one's gonna know if I don't go. And I can just imagine in 20 years looking back and being like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that was a cool thing to be invited to. It's not that deep, firstly. Like, don't go if you don't want to go. But you wanted to go. Why did you not go? Like, I just think that is so stupid. And, but I still did it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I come on the podcast and I, like, speak about topics like this and, like, maybe give advice. But I'm in the thick of it. Like, I'm literally, everyone writes in these submissions, it's like I can relate to like almost every single one of them. And I just think it's so sad the way so many of these women, like older women, will still be going on diets to look a certain way, or, you know, trying to fit into clothes that are too small for them, and think like focusing so much energy and time onto that. And the worst bit is that I don't even care how I look. Like, that doesn't even bother me. It's just the way that you've been conditioned to feel like that. Because I think if I think about it, like, in isolation, like, for example, if I was, like, on a desert island and there was nobody there and I was never going to leave the island, I wouldn't care. Like, it wouldn't bother me. It doesn't really matter. And objectively, it doesn't matter. But just, like, this world is so shit. And I know I was trying to make this like an uplifting episode about girlhood, but I think the sad thing is that there is like a lot of like lessons and important things that we like all need to work on, you know? and it's not that easy being a girl. So yeah, I guess those are my main takeaways. But yeah, I really loved that Steffi spoke about that on their episode, and I was literally like tearing up. I was on the tube actually, and I was like welling up. And I know that it was if I was just like listening it in my room or something, I would have probably cried, but I was on the tube, so I like had to hold myself together. But yeah, definitely great. I will link their podcast below because it's way better than this one. But yeah, okay, thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you have a nice week, and I want you to know that you're beautiful and you're great and you're clever and you're very pretty and you have great ideas and you're very smart, intuitive, and I just think you're great. So I know you don't think that, or maybe you do. If you do, then like I literally couldn't be more happy for you. But if you don't, then just a little reminder. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye.